Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Nightpan Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler. Want to say thank you to everyone out there who supports this show, who supports anything I do. I'm genuinely grateful for you guys. If you got to have more of this show, then I tell you every week and have been for years, you got to have the Patreon. It's this show, The Honeydew, with y'all, and you guys have the wildest stories on the internet. It's $5 a month, all right? And if you or someone you know has a story that has to be heard, please submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. Hopefully we'll get to do an episode together. If you've already submitted, bump it up, resubmit. We get a lot of them. We would love to do an episode with you guys, all right? That's the biz, and you know what we're doing over here. We're highlighting the lowlights, and I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. I am very excited to have this guest on here. First time on The Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Piff the Magic Dragon, John Vanderput.
Hello.
Welcome to The Honeydew.
Thanks John for having Vanderput. Me. Look at that.
Hell yeah, buddy.
I came half dragon today.
Half dragon. I'm good with half dragon.
Half dragon is more than enough, you know.
Well, I've never met you before. I've been having a great time talking to you. Before we get into your story, please promote everything and anything you'd like. Your special, all of it.
Yeah, I have a show in Las Vegas at the Flamingo, 6 nights a week and forever until the end of 27. We just got renewed for another 3 years.
How many years you been doing it already?
This is our 10th year.
Damn, yeah. Good for you.
10th year.
6 nights a week?
Six nights a week.
How long is the show?
It's like a 90-minute show.
Okay. It's a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a lot,
me,
bro.
Just me shouting consistently all the way through it. Usually at small children. Because people they see the dragon outfit, mm-hmm. and they're like, oh, yeah, let's bring along a five-year-old. And then by the end of the show, the kid's crying. They're leaving. They're shouting obscenities. It's not good. But so we have that show. And then we also tour. And we just sort of do it all the time. On our dark night, on Friday night is our day off. So we'll do the show Thursday, get a red eye, land, do a tour show Friday, and then Saturday morning come back to Vegas. And those dates are piffthemagicdragon.com/tour. And we're adding all new dates all the time. There are a whole bunch of dates up there. And we have a special, Piff the Magic Dragon Reptile Dysfunction, which is out on YouTube.
It. I love it.
And that stars me and Penn Jillette. From Penn & Teller.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah,
and
yeah.
He plays my father who comes back into town for one last go around. So that's been out for a couple of years. And
I love Penn and I've always loved Penn and Teller. Have you been? Were you a Penn and Teller fan before you met them?
I actually got my big break on their show in 2011.
Okay.
And like the idea of the show is you go on and you try and fool them with a magic trick. And I go on and I do it. And I wasn't really interested in whether I fooled them or not. I was just like happy to be there. But they basically sort of didn't really know how it worked, the trick I did.
Mm.
And then Teller comes up to me and he draws something. And it was like nothing to do with how my trick worked. And I just went, sure, buddy, whatever it is, you know, why not? And so they were like, oh, you didn't fool us. And I came off the show and I thought it was a disaster. And then when it aired, like 4 months later, everything blew up, made my career. It was like the start of my career. And they said, we're really sorry. You fooled us. We just didn't admit it. Although now I still argue with them over that.
Is that right?
They say I fooled them. Yeah. I'm like, I didn't fool you. You know how it worked. But yeah, that was like my first big break in this business, really.
So let's go back to the very beginning. Tell me, where are you from originally? Mom, dad, siblings?
I'm from London.
Okay.
In the UK originally. I have a mom, I have a dad. They are about to celebrate their 50th anniversary.
They're together. Still together and alive together. And well. All right. Great.
They got engaged on their first date.
Come on.
On their first date.
That's true. How did they meet? What was their first date?
They went through church. They knew each other in the church they went to. They went to the movies. And I think on the way, you know, when my dad dropped my mom off, he was down on one knee proposing.
Did he have the ring already? Like, did he know he going into done, this?
He
right?
can't have had the ring.
If he did, he's a psycho.
If he did, I'm questioning my mother and every choice she made. It's like,
yeah.
And now the worst thing is I'm going to have to ask.
And how old were they when they did this?
11. No, they were.
That had to not be later.
I think it was like. Mid-30s.
Oh, maybe, that is early later, 30s, I thought.
Mid-30s, I think.
That's also, I would expect a younger couple to make a rash decision, like, and not a couple in there.
Crazy.
And it's still 50 years.
And then they got maybe married 3 months later. They didn't even let it, you know, settle for a couple of years. Three months later, they got engaged.
Yeah. Date one, and 3 months later, they're married. Already fully married.
And
wow.
Almost 50 years still together. Crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah. So I was very lucky. And I also have a brother and a sister, younger brother, older sister.
Okay. Yeah. And what did your parents do? What were
my
their
My dad was
work?
In insurance.
Okay.
And my mom looked after the house and brought up us kids. But she also then, like, after we were growing up, she, like, started working as a assistant teacher. And, you know, she loved that. She still kind of keeps busy with that stuff.
Is your dad retired now? Probably,
he's retired. Right? Yeah. He's being a writer now.
But your mom still likes to sort of stay involved with that.
Yeah, she likes to keep her head.
I like that's cute.
Yeah, yeah.
What about your brother? What does he do?
He's a director.
Is he?
Yeah.
Have you worked together yet?
No.
No.
We worked together a lot.
Will you kill each other if you worked together?
He would kill me, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
We worked together when I first started doing, you know, like some stand-up. Him and I did a double act, and I loved it, but he wasn't for him. So he does these great little short film, like very serious short films about real issues and trauma.
So what came first for you, stand up or magic? Like
it was magic.
It was
for sure. And that's the thing. It's like I put like bits of stand up in my shows still, and I'll do like 5-10 minutes here and there. But I always come back to the magic because I love that you can like create this thing that's completely impossible, and no one's done it in the world ever, you know. And it's like this trick that you can suddenly pay your rent with, and like But these days, what I try and do is I try and think of the funny idea first.
This is what I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
You think of the idea first. Yeah.
And so, like, comedy magic is one of the worst things there is on the face of the earth. I actually grew up hating magic. I hate probably 99.5% of it. I think, like, most magicians out there are just lazy and just, you know, they buy the trick and they just copy the person who's, you know, video they're showing.
I also, back in the day when I was writing and producing as well in TV, I worked, I wrote promos for a show called The Hidden Secrets of Magic, right, or something like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And they were like, we're going to make this SUV disappear. And they literally dropped a curtain, put hooks on top of the fucking, right, thing, right, and then raised it up. And I was like, hold on. I don't know anything about magic. That's how I would do that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not magic. That's just cheating.
Exactly.
And I was like, well, that's not magic. So then when I see guys who come around, I'm a big sleight of hand fan. Right. Like, I like watching someone right in front of my, right, face fool me.
Right.
Make my whole brain, eyes, and senses lie to me, yeah, right there in front of my fucking face. I like that.
That's how I started. I was like that for like 20 years, just, mm-hmm, sleight of hand magic.
What was the thing that what was it for you that you saw where you're like, that? And what did you start digging with?
There was a show, late night.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
BBC Two in the UK that had these magicians like Amazing Jonathan,
mm-hmm,
yeah, an English guy called Jerry Sadowitz.
Can I just tell you one of my favorite things he used to do? I used to watch him a lot stand up, and he'd go, anybody have a lighter? Anybody have a lighter? And somebody be like, I got one. He'd go, throw it up here. And they'd throw it up, and he'd just put, yeah, it in a jar and set it down like it was a That shit, I don't know why I remember that. I laughed like that's a fucking good
did
bit.
You right see, did you see that bit we did with the tiny arm?
No.
Yeah, he's there in a t-shirt.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, now listen, I've been in this business for a long time, and I've actually been hiding a secret, and I'm tired of it. I want to just be me. This is a prosthetic. This is not real. So look, let me just show you. And he turns around and he comes back and he's got like a plastic baby arm. And he's like, this is my real arm. And everyone just like loses it. And he's like, what? How are you laughing at this? I come out here showing you the real me, and you just laugh openly in my face. I was just on the floor. It was so good. And then he's like, you know, he's like trying to hold the microphone with his tiny arm. Yeah, he's trying to like wipe his face with his tiny arm. I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing of all time. So I was lucky enough to meet him and spend some time with him. Just the funniest guy.
Well, you're also... what I'm hearing is guys like him who you admired and Penn, they seem, yeah, to respect you as well.
Yeah,
well,
that's now I'll the come thing. Back and that's work the thing with you. That, yeah. From that break on that TV show, mm-hmm, the biggest thing that happened was it was just as YouTube was kind of like really kicking in, it got sent all around the world. And all these people, like all these people who are my heroes, watched it. So I went to Las Vegas like a year later to do some magic convention thing. Everyone knew who I was.
Wow.
It was crazy. I mean, but you know how they knew as well, because so I did that show in 2011. 2012, I go to Vegas. The night before I go, somebody sends me a clip of a Russian magic show, and they have this guy who dresses up as me, and he does my act move for move,
nuh-uh,
beat for beat. The only thing that changed is I have a Chihuahua. He has a guinea pig. It was unbelievable.
What did he call himself?
He called himself Andre the Magic Dragon or something, because his name is Andre. It was amazing. But it's like, you know, you remember when they remade Psycho? They did it was Gus Van Sant. He did just the color remake. It was like that. It was like shot for shot. They even did like all the shots that the directors cut to. It's unbelievable. I will put it on my YouTube channel or something. I don't know. But so that happened, and when I landed in Vegas, all of these magicians were outraged, and all of these, you know, like David Copperfield, Lance Burton, all these guys, they knew about it. So yeah, Penn and Teller were the ones who made my career.
That's great.
Yeah.
What was your first show?
I don't know. It was like I was
elementary school, or are you just doing
friends' birthday parties.
What was the first trick you really mastered?
Mastered?
Yeah, mastered.
But the first trick I loved was the linking rings. Like these silver rings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and the reason I loved them was because I met this. The first time I really saw magic was like a Ren Fair, but we didn't really have those in the UK, but it was like one of those. And they had a jester there, and he was doing these linking rings, and he gave two to me, and they linked in my hands, and then they unlinked. And I was like, oh my God, I can do magic. I can do this, guys. I'm a natural. I should just... So then I like begged my mom to buy me that trick. And it arrived, and I was like, wait, this is all broken. Like, these two are already stuck together. This one's got a hole in it. What's going on? And then I realized that, like, oh, you had to do sleight of hand to make it all look the same. But I was telling you earlier, that was the guy. My mom had a photo of that guy. Years later, I said to all my magician friends I knew, who's this guy? Because this is the moment I took up magic. And they've tracked him down. And they were like, oh, yeah, his name's such and such. He's in jail because he punched a 9-year-old. In the face.
In the face.
Well, and went to jail. I mean,
that's
it.
Where you do want to get him.
I was like, yes. That's the origin story I need.
He lost his fucking shit. So like, good. No more of this guy.
Because he's just dealing with dickheads like me being like, oh, I can do this. Yeah, I've got a superpower.
Yeah, like, I'm tired of you, son of a bitch. Yeah.
So great.
So
I did that. But then what happened was, the more I started loving comedy more and more, and I didn't like doing the tricks without jokes. And then eventually you get, you know, like, that's what I was saying about comedy magic. Like, the best way is when Penn and Teller are the masters at this. Jonathan used to do it. Like, the premise is funny. So we got, you know, like at the moment in the Vegas show, my dog, someone names a drink, any drink, and my dog pisses it into a cup. And they can drink it, and it's the real drink. So like that, it's like straight away, I already want to see that trick in action, you know. Whereas if I was saying to you, oh, okay, well, you choose a card, right? Then you write your name on it, and then you put it back, and it disappears. It's in my pocket, but then it's in my wallet. It's just like, oh, who cares? I don't care about that. Like, give me a dog pissing a drink any day. So that was the sort of magic I really got into.
So. In your act, as you're coming up with things, are you, like, as a comedian, once we drop our special, we don't do that material anymore. Yeah. We go out. So are you constantly having to come up with new tricks too?
And but it's much worse.
But
it's,
do you do, like, what matters to you more? Do you come up with new jokes as well? Or are you like, my jokes are good.
Here's
these tricks
deal,
are
right?
what I need to
Comedians
be.
Comedians are always like, oh, we've got to have new material. My life is so hard. It's like, you don't have to do the impossible. Like, basically, you can go on stage, you can try a joke, and if it bombs, you just go, oh, I'll come back tomorrow. Like, magicians, and there are like five famous magicians, maybe. Think of all the comedians out there. Maybe there are like five famous magicians. So it's a much higher bar to entry because you have to come up with an idea that's impossible. Then you have to find a way to do it. Then you have to find a way to do it on stage live in front of people, and you try it in front of people, and the people go, nah. Not really into this. So then you have to remake it all. So like this whole process, like a 2-3 year process, tens of thousands of dollars to get like one new bit that's like 3-4 minutes. So we all try like to not put our good shit on TV, mm-hmm. but you have to do something to get. So we burn some stuff. You know, I've probably got like, I've been doing this Piffed Man Dragon Act like 15 years, and I've probably got 2.5 hours of stuff if I stretch, you know, and like all of it is blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah,
and like years and years of development into it.
Can you tell us a time where maybe you've ever like literally dropped the trick or fucked up?
All the time.
But where we would notice it, or you can cover that shit up. You're, you know, so good now.
Yeah, no, there was like.
And how do you recover? Do you use comedy since you're already in that sort of realm to play it off?
There was just recently, I had this childhood idol magician called Guy Hollingworth. And if you like sleight of hand, I'll send you some of his stuff. He's like the greatest sleight of hand of all time. And he's like this very charming English guy. I love him to bits. So, but you know when you meet people and you're like, oh, we're from two different worlds. We will never be friends. This, you know, the dream of us hanging out together mm-hmm. will never come true. So then he comes to Vegas and his partner wanted to come and see my show. And I'm like, really? Maybe the dream's back on. So I'm like, okay, come to the show, come to the show. So they come to the show. And bear in mind, this is a show I've done, you know, for like 3 years, at least five nights a week. This is like bedded in material. Every single thing that could go wrong went wrong. And when I say went wrong, they went wrong without an ending. It was just like, oh, this is, we just have to stop now and just go to the next bit. Because we can't,
there's no clean up.
Yeah. You know, I used to say, like, you know, tricks don't go wrong, they just have different endings. Mm-hmm. No, sometimes they just, you're just done. And we ended up, it was so bad, we fired like one of our staff members over it because they just kept messing everything up so badly. And I was just like, oh, there's nothing I can do to take back what just happened. My childhood idol will never see the show again, and this is what they remember. And some stuff like that, you say, that's when magic sucks, because it just like, it's just terrible. But that's like it's like a 1% occurrence usually, because you're dealing with physics, and physics doesn't always work. So, or it comes up with new types of physics that you hadn't thought of.
Yeah.
So yeah, like 99%. But I don't think, the nice thing is, you know, so I think magicians have it a lot worse when it comes to new material. But I think comedians have it a lot worse when it comes to bombing than magicians. Because magicians often, if you can get to the end of a trick, the audience is going to applaud.
Even if you can't, you got another one coming right behind it that's going to make them forget about that.
You can normally get off stage, yeah, you know, to some sort of ovation. But as a, you know, as a comedian, you know, when I've done stand-up and I've got nothing there behind me, I'm like, oh, I miss it so much. I miss it. I just want that, like, and there's the Five of Clubs. My name's Peppermint Dragon. I'm out.
But, we were talking before the show. So let me ask you this, because you talked about some health issues you had before we recorded. Yeah. But how long, you said 2011's where it really sort of popped off for you, right?
Off,
so, but how long had you been doing this before? You know, what's the grind for
you? I was a late developer for sure.
You were?
Yeah.
How old were you when you started?
I started when I was 14, 15, doing magic and like little magic shows. Then when I went to university, and because I went there to get a backup degree in case the magic didn't work out. And I did card tricks all the way through university. I studied computer science. And I thought I was going to like learn like useful things. But it was no, it was like ones and zeros. So I was in lectures and the guy was like, okay, you want to go 1001100110110. Of course, you don't want to do 10011101001. That would be stupid, right? And the whole class would laugh. And I'd be like, I don't know what the fuck
we're talking about.
What's happening, people? So, yeah. So I did that, and then I got a job in IT when I came back. And then I like had this weird pain in my side. And it went on for like 6 weeks. And then...
And this is how old are you when this is happening?
22.
Okay.
And I just was like, oh, this doesn't feel good. I think I should go to the hospital. And I went, and they were like, oh, yeah, you should lie down here for a little bit. And I think I stayed there for like 6 weeks.
Whoa.
Yeah. And it turned out they didn't know what it was. For
6 weeks?
Yeah, 6 weeks. And it was just a mess. It was like horrible stomach pain. And so it took them 2 years to find out what it was.
Get the fuck out of here.
2 years.
6 weeks you're in there. So when did they release you? Why are they like, okay, well, here you go. And 2 years later?
No. No, I'm saying, so 6 weeks, I get out. And then a month later, I'm back in. And then I'm in and out for 2 years.
Oh, I thought you meant they. No. Oh my God, you're going back and forth for 2 years. Yeah. For and them, what was it?
It turned out to be pancreatitis.
Really?
Pancreatitis, which you get in a couple of ways. Mostly you get it through drinking. So, which means you don't get any sympathy as a patient. It's like, wow, you did it to yourself, didn't you?
And can they tell? They can tell it's alcohol induced?
No. No, they can tell, but people who hear about it don't know. They just assume that it was, because it's so rare to get it any other way. I got it the other way, which is like you have a couple of tubes in your pancreas, and one of mine was missing the middle, which is not a good design in a tube. So all of the pancreas stuff was getting all backed up. Mm. And it's very, you know, this is where I'm like, how is life a real thing. But your pancreas emits, like gives out this liquid that has a time delay on it. And when it gets to your stomach, it activates and then dissolves all the meat in your stomach.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's how that shit works?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Well, the problem is, if it doesn't get there, it's got a time delay on it, so it starts digesting your pancreas.
Oh, it starts digesting itself?
Yeah.
So and that's what's happening to your body happening. For 2 years. Pancreas is eating itself.
Yeah, and I didn't know. So then I found out, and it carried on eating itself for another 2 years because they tried all this stuff. And in the end, they were like, "Okay, there is an operation we can do where we can like cut the top of your pancreas off and stick your intestine up there and sew it together." And I was like, "Oh, that doesn't sound safe." And they were like, "It's very unsafe, actually."
They said that, yeah. just like,
funny you brought that up. They were like, actually,
good thing you mentioned.
Yeah, that. And it was something like,
why the hell are you suggesting it?
It was something like, well, because it was the only way. It was the only way. It was that, or continue to like have this like attacks all the time
and just deal
hostile
with it
all the time. And
was it deadly if you kept it going?
Eventually, yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what they ended up having to do?
So they did this, right? And they're like, it was a 1 in 3 chance of like...
Oh, the odds suck too.
1 in 3. I'm like, buddy, 1 in 3 is not...
So you could end up going through this whole surgery and still it doesn't work and you're still having problems?
No.
You're not talking about dying.
It was a 1 in 3 chance that you don't get through the operation.
That's
what they were saying, yeah.
You don't even make it? Why? Yeah. What happens?
Because then what they do, they cut it. They have to take out everything because your pancreas is in the middle. This is why everyone dies of pancreatic cancer because it's the worst one.
No shit. So I'm thinking it's 30% chance it works.
No.
It's 30% chance you're living.
It was a good chance it's going to work. It was like a 2/3. If you don't die, you're probably okay. And I was like, oh, God.
Holy shit.
So... And there's nothing like that pressure, you know, when they're like putting all the medicine in you, they're like count backwards from 10 and you're like 10, 1 in 3, that is not 9. I mean, I don't think 1 in 3 is like 8. So I don't think we should poof out, you know. But luckily it all worked and it was literally like suddenly I got my life back.
How long was the recovery for you?
It was like 3 months.
That's not bad.
Not bad.
Were you like when you opened your eyes? Were you like, "Holy shit, I made it"?
Yeah,
you had to be, totally. Right? You were.
I was, you know, a bit like in a bed, can't move.
Is it ever everywhere. Trip you out though that if you hadn't woke up, like that was just the end? It's just black for you right there. You know, you're just gone. You don't know anything at the end.
Well, I don't really understand consciousness. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm always a little bit concerned by this. I was brought up to believe that you know we live forever in heaven or hell, mm-hmm. and I was like, neither sound like a good option. Like, you know, I think I'd like one end in sight, please. Everything about like, you know, closing my eyes. Like,
are you saying goodbye to your family or anything in case, or your parents there? This is my kid.
Everyone
was
there.
Out.
Everyone was freaking out. But,
and also, what a decision to have to make. You must be in so much fucking pain.
Oh, it's the
you
worst.
Finally are like, I'll 30%, I'll take it.
But you know what? There were bright spots. I got a catheter.
That's a bright spot? That gives me shivers.
Have you ever had a catheter?
No, I refuse.
Oh, my God.
I fought the ladies at the hospital.
Treat yourself. I can't even think about it right now. Listen, go in there. Now, look, you don't want to be awake when they put it in.
Yeah, wanted me to be.
No,
that
you don't,
was
you don't want that.
Argument. Like,
I'm just going to tell you that right
now.
You don't want it. But they can change. You don't have to be awake.
Yeah.
They put it in, right? Here's the thing. It takes away your pee before you even think about it.
What do you mean?
So you know how like you need to pee? Mm-hmm. Well, you don't need to do that anymore. Full stop. You never need to pee.
You don't get like the sensation of empty and bladder?
No. You don't even get the concept of a bladder.
You don't even know you're peeing?
No.
And they'll be like, look at this whole jug
exactly.
You filled up. And
exactly.
You're like, that came out of my body?
Exactly. You're not there going, oh, I need to pee now. Luckily, I've got this tube so I don't have to get up. It's just gone. The clarity I had in my mind for that week and a half.
From a tube up your
dick hole. Oh, my God. I tell you, like needing to pee takes up a lot of space in my head. Because especially now I don't get around to it. And I'm like, I've got to.
I don't get around to it.
I still need to pee. I haven't just been doing all this stuff. Oh, it's the worst. And the clarity. Catheter clarity is like no other clarity in the world.
I've never in my life heard this. I watched my daughter's mom when she had our daughter. At the end, after it, they wanted to put one in her and she, awake, and she fought. Like, she did fight, and they held her down and put that damn thing in. And then she was fine after they got it in. But, man, I don't want that going in me while I'm awake.
There's a lot of things I've done that
Did hurt when they pulled it out?
Oh, yeah. It was the worst. Okay. I mean, I'd rather they cut it off, to be honest.
Like, you're leaving that part
because they pull it out.
Yeah. Look how long that is.
And then it's like, you know those modeling balloons? It's like, boom, it's like one of them. It is the worst coming out. But you know, sometimes you have an experience, you go, yeah, look, it didn't turn out great, but it was enjoyable while I was doing it, you know, and that was one of those.
And how's your health now?
Great.
It worked?
It worked.
And it's continued to work?
Yeah.
How old are you now, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 44 now.
So this is 20-some years it's lasted for you.
Yeah.
And you're okay?
Yeah. All perfect. Right. Yeah. I mean, I just gave up drinking. Which I did for many reasons.
Yeah.
But so if I wanted to keep drinking, I couldn't have kept drinking, but I decided not to.
That would just absolutely kill
you. That would just aggravate it. Yeah. You know. And that would also be a bit of a fuck you to whoever did it. Hey, you remember that operation you did where you saved my life? Well, guess what? I'm pissing all over that every day.
Yeah, drank it fucking right undone. Yeah.
Exactly.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Let's get back to the... So it's not an issue for you to travel or anything like that?
No.
No. It's this, diet?
Nothing. It was amazing.
Just alcohol is really all you've had to do alcohol. And you're good to go.
Yeah. And I guess I shouldn't try and get obese. That would not be a good move.
Try what?
I shouldn't be try and get obese. For many reasons, but that would also, as long as I'm just reasonably healthy, then everything's fine.
All right.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about your dog.
Yeah.
So your original dog's name was Mr. Piffles, is that correct?
Mr. Piffles.
Okay.
Yeah.
When did you first introduce a dog into your act? Because I just want to ask, it seems like, look, as a stand-up, coming up with my own material, it seems like a lot to have to come up with your own material, perfect jokes, and then add a fucking animal to the mix.
Well, there's nothing more that I love than outraged comedians who would just look at me and be like, this is a gimmick on a gimmick on a gimmick on a gimmick. This is some bullshit. I'm out here with my jokes and you're there cheating.
I'm looking at it like this guy's fucking introducing so many elements into this thing.
Because this is the thing with magic, is that magic is cheating unless you take it really seriously and you work really hard at it and you put, everything that you, all of your resources into that one thing. Mm-hmm. And then it can be, great. But that's why there aren't many good magicians out there. But so what happened was, so I got better and I went, okay, I'm done. I'm not going to do any computer. I'm not going to live my life, on plan B.
Okay. So this also made you go for it.
So I went for it. And guess what? I got fired every single place I worked.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I was too grumpy. I just had this I just have a natural resting bitch face. Mm-hmm. And these people were like, I did a wedding, the Close to Magic at a wedding. And this guy came up to me and was like, what's your problem? You're like the Eeyore of magic. And then he fired me because he was the groom.
He was the groom.
And I used to say,
you the Eeyore of magic.
I used to say terrible things. Like, I went up to the table in a little Italian restaurant, 50 covers, and there's a couple of there. And I go up to the guy and say, hey, I'm the magician here. Would you like to see some magic? And the guy scrapes his chair across this tile floor, stands up, and he says, my wife has just asked me for a divorce. Do you really think I want to see some fucking magic? And I said, I guess not, because she just made half your house disappear. And I was immediately fired. Immediately. And so I was just running out.
That one seems worth it.
I agree. Yeah. I'm like, come on. That's pretty good, guys. Anybody? But here's the thing. You know when you split a room as a comedian, right? Mm-hmm. And but even when you split a room, you're still getting good laughs. Mm-hmm. Well, when you're doing close-up magic to tables of six people, if you split a table, that's just three people not laughing. Mm-hmm. And that is very, you know, so I was trying, I was like doing all these jokes and I'd split tables and it was just, especially if you split a couple, that's the worst thing you can do. So I was like, I'm done. I got to get out of this job. I don't know what I'm going to do. I got to get out. And then somebody invited me to a costume party and I want to go and I don't have a costume. And I say to my sister, do you have a costume I can wear? And she's like, yeah, I got a dragon outfit under my bed. And I was like, I don't think I want to know any more about why it's under your bed. But I took it and I wore it. I walked across London in a dragon outfit, which is like, it's like, you know, LA. It's like, it takes like an hour to get from side to side. So, except we have to use the public, you know, buses and trains and shit. So I walk across, I get to the party, I go in, no one else is in costume. Just me. In a dragon outfit.
In a dragon outfit.
And I'm like, oh, God. So now I'm like appropriately grumpy for once.
Why? Did you think it was a costume party?
They told me it was.
They did. Okay.
And then when I arrived, they were like, yeah, we said not to worry about it. You didn't get that email? I was like, clearly not. So I'm there and I'm my friend comes up to me because I look really pissed off. She's like, you should do this in your act. You could be Puff the Magic Dragon. And I was like, I could be Piff the Magic Dragon. You might have heard of my older brother, Steve. And I was like, that's not bad. That is not bad. And I did it. It took me another 6 months to do it, but I did it. And literally, as soon as I walked on stage, and I couldn't stop people laughing because it was just so dumb. And I was so angry. You know, I was just like, I had this grumpy, resting bitch face in this outfit. I couldn't stop the laughing. And I was like, oh, this is it. But it was good for 5 minutes. And I thought maybe that's all it will be, 5 minutes. But then I wanted to go and do the Edinburgh Festival. So you need like an hour for that. So I wrote an hour and I went and did it. And it was fine for like 20 minutes. By that time, I could do 20 minutes, you know. But after that, it needed like a change of pace.
How many tricks is 20 minutes?
It is three or four tricks. Okay. 20 minutes. And I was like, this act needs something. And the girl who was running the venue, she had a dog. She had a little chihuahua. And so I was doing this, like, I was doing a trick with an arm chopper. So that was like, that was like my B material. But I, at one point I had like, you know, the audience member in the arm chopper. And I was like, listen, if you don't want to do this, we do have an alternative. And we brought out the dog. And then we, you know, put the dog like near the arm chopper and everyone lost their shit. And I was like, this is pretty funny. So I just got divorced and I was like, I don't want to date for like a year. I'm done. I just want to be on my own for a year. And I was talking to this girl and she was going on and on about how great having a dog was for company. And I was like, I think I'm going to get a dog. She's like, really?
Just in general, she's saying great companionship.
Amazing, yeah. Because yeah. I grew up with cats, but you know. And chihuahuas especially are like, they're like cats with love. You know, they're like unconditional cats. So I was like, yeah, I want to get one. She found this dog on Gumtree, which is like Craigslist in Scotland. So we go and see this dog and it's just like awful. It's like this like ball of suffering. And it's like its teeth are like rotted, its coat's matted.
It's just someone's shaking, dog.
Someone's dog. Every time this kid walks into the room, he like starts cowering, obviously beaten up by the kid. And I was like, this is not a show business animal. And I rang up my friend. She said, look, just get the dog out of that space. Just like, you know, just get him out. Like, you'll be able to, take him to the vets and get him well. And then if you don't want him, just rehome him. But just get him out of wherever he is. So I did. And then he went into the show and on stage, people loved him.
Wait, real quick. Even though you got the dog, how quickly do you decide to put him on stage?
Oh, no, no.
I tried it
uh-huh. One day. The next morning I got the dog. The next afternoon the dog was in the show.
But did he like run out on stage while you were out?
Oh,
there?
No.
And it happened that you brought him out?
He only came out, you know, this is, and it was the same joke. You know, this is the alternative. He goes back in, doesn't do anything, you know, just like brought in and out. But so he could handle it. But the audience loved him. And then when I got back to London, I'd take him for an hour walk every day, took him to the vets, got his teeth done. First thing you do in show business. And
even the dog.
Even the dog's teeth.
So, what do they do for dogs' teeth? They put
mostly they pull them out. That oh,
they
seems
don't
to
put they
salute.
Don't put a little.
There's no veneers.
Grill for
no,
dogs.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So I started walking him, and he just over 3 months he turned into this incredible show business animal. Like his hair, like suddenly, like you know, washed it, like got in the right food. His coat was amazing.
He was a Pomeranian.
He's a Chihuahua.
Oh, he was a Chihuahua. Sorry,
white long haired Chihuahua.
Long haired. Okay.
And people were like, oh my God, that dog is incredible. And what it did was the act was a little bit too, it wasn't deadpan. I was trying to be deadpan, but it was a little too like grumpy, kind of like, what's that? Misanthropic, when you hate life. It was a bit too much like that. And then the dog just gave me that light. So now I had like, you know, the two things. And so, yeah, I over the years, he became a big part of the show. And in the end, we did 15 years together. We probably did 5,000 appearances.
Wow.
Probably did 3,000 hour-long shows together. And, you know, just an incredible gift that I couldn't have, you know, couldn't have ever. That's why, like, one my friend said this to me years later, and I was like, oh, that's what I was doing. She said, just say yes to things. You know, just like say yes, see what happens. Mm-hmm. And like that was the time, you know, when I was like, I was doing the Edinburgh show, wasn't really working. Like my love life was awful. And I just said yes to that. And like, you know, it really things turned around. So he was incredible. And he passed away November last year. But before he did, when he was about 8, so he passed away when he was almost 17.
Oh, wow.
When he was 8, I was like,
that's old for a dog.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was like, anytime anything, if he would sneeze, we'd take him to the vets.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, shoot him up full of vitamin C or whatever dogs like. What was I saying?
You said 17.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Maybe around
yeah,
8?
Yeah, at 8. Mm-hmm. I was like, I need to get a backup. So we found this dog, looks exactly the same. Found him on eBay this time. And we meet this woman.
You get a dog on eBay?
Yeah.
Dude, I had no idea.
Pedigree Chihuahua on eBay. I met the woman outside of Wendy's in Victoria, which is like around here, isn't it? And like, you know, she had like a bandage all over her arm, probably from where the puppy mill dogs were scratching her or whatever it was. So we got him again. He's a fun dog, but he hated stage, just like trembling, wasn't for him. So then a few years later, we get another dog, another pedigree chihuahua, this time from a breeder. This dog keeps growing. Now this dog is 16 pounds.
A chihuahua?
My original Pivels was 5 pounds.
16?
I can't hold him up.
Is
enough.
It a chihuahua or is it
yeah,
a mixed?
We got him DNA tested.
Wow.
100% chihuahua.
16 pounds.
Because I wanted the money back. I was like,
no
get
way.
DNA.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he's a chihuahua. We can't. Okay. So he just became like in charge of morale because he's a super nice dog. So then I started reading in Korea, I think South Korea. They were having problems finding bomb sniffing dogs. Apparently, the most difficult dog to train is a bomb sniffing dog, like a 5 or 10% success rate. So they've found the successful dogs, they cloned them, and the new dogs had an 80 to 85% chance of success when you train them. And I was like, the only responsible thing to do right now is to clone Mr. Piffles. Not for me, for the good of the audience.
Sure.
They want him there every show.
You've mentioned it a little bit before we recorded. I am blown away by this. I had no idea you could clone a dog.
Yeah.
And that, what year was this you did it in?
Oh, it wasn't long ago. He's the cloned dog who's called Fortune because it's our fourth dog and he cost a fortune.
That's great. Yeah.
He's 2 1/4. So probably
22.
Yeah, mid 22. It took a while for it to take.
I have just a million questions. So I was saying to you, like, even though he's a clone, fully healthy, no weird side effects, genetic issues, no mutation, no nothing weird.
None.
Were you blown away by this?
I still can't believe it. Because here's the thing. I spent 15 years on stage with Mr. Imagine you do a double act, right? You know, who's a comedian you like? Any comedian.
God. Dave Chappelle.
Imagine you and Dave Chappelle. You work together for 15 years. You do 5,000 shows. And then he's like, oh, I don't feel good. Dies. You're upset. But you're like, well, hang on a second. 2 years ago, I cloned Dave Chappelle. Now, I haven't really paid that much attention to the clone of Dave Chappelle because I've had the real thing. But now I need to see whether clone Dave Chappelle is just as good. And clone Dave Chappelle is exactly the same as the original Dave Chappelle you met, you know, on show one. Exactly the same. Like, looks the same, acts the same.
That's the thing.
He's not the same as like the 15-year-old or the 17-year-old. Mm-hmm. He's the same as the dog that I rescued before I started training him. So now so that was crazy enough. So now I started training him, and now he starts doing exactly the things.
Hold on, man. This is blowing my mind. You're saying the same mannerisms, characteristics as Mr. Piffles before you took him.
I'm saying before I had Mr. when I've got him, you know, I didn't really know what it was like because he was like,
he's just being a dog. It was at that point.
And he was a rescue dog. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have this puppy, and the puppy's growing up. I didn't get Piffles till he was almost 2. So I don't know whether this is what Piffles looks like. He starts hitting this 2-year period, and I'm like, that dog really looks similar. Looks, and I'm going back. Taking out old photos, and you cannot tell them apart.
You really can't.
You cannot from the
even
old photos.
You, the owner, can't.
From the photos.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just recently, we have this idea for a bit we want to put in the show, and we with Piffles, and I trained him to sit, lie down, took him for walks, but it was really funny because he did nothing, and now we've got an idea for a bit where he does something. So we're training this new dog, but I did train Piffles a little bit at the beginning. And the way Piffles responded all those years ago is the exact same way this dog responds to treats,
crazy.
The way he sits,
come on.
The way he goes down.
Doesn't
the way
that blow your mind?
It's bananas. It's crazy. Crazy.
And are they genetically actually healthier then? Is this a dog that will live at least 15 years or is that?
I don't know.
I'm just so blown away by all this that there's not. And can I ask you, if you don't have to say, but what's something like that cost for real?
I tell you, it costs, including delivery.
They deliver
and
it?
Tax,
to
and tax.
What do you mean? They
Here's how they deliver it as well. Because they were like, you can come and pick it up. And it was in Rochester. Mm-hmm. And we can't because we have the show all the time. So I sit on.
Here, Rochester, New York?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I said, what's delivery? And they said, oh, we just get on a plane with the dog. In a carry-on. I was like, oh yeah, do that. Just do that. And it was funny actually, because we didn't want to give away, I didn't want to say, oh, I'm Piff the Magic Dragon, I'm looking to clone my magic performing chihuahua. So we were like very cagey with the company who did it. And we arranged to meet them at an airport, at Vegas airport, by the Starbucks. And we're there. We spent like 3 months, you know, like different email addresses, different names, everything like that. And we're waiting for this woman to arrive with the dog. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And I look over and there's a huge billboard of me and Mr. Piffles.
Nuh-uh, dude.
Like, directly opposite the Starbucks that I'd totally forgotten about. I was like, no. So our cover was blown immediately. But including delivery,
$60,000. $60,000. Yeah. I know that's an expense that goes into the show and
you
everything.
You divide that by 5,000 and you have a very... Imagine you're paying Dave Chappelle $32 a show.
Yeah.
That's what you get.
Wow. And who's the person or how did you even find out about this, that it was doable?
I think I read the article. You know, I just like it's either work or read... newspapers on the internet. So I'd do that instead. Mm-hmm. And then when I found that, I started Googling it and finding out all this information. But yeah, like,
can I ask you, what do they need to do? What do they take take from original Mr. Piffles?
I'm not very good at listening to instructions. Mm-hmm. So when they said, you know, this is the samples we need, I was like, great, I'll just tell the vet. And we've got this amazing vet to do it, but it's actually pretty invasive. And you know, they have to cut and like go in like quite deep to get the samples. And afterwards I was like, oh shit, if I had known that, I would have probably like, you know, because you can do it when your animals pass away as well.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, you can, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So then they don't have to go through that.
Like pretty quickly though?
Yeah, you have to like within a couple of days. And obviously like it depends how your animal passed away. But I'm sure it's fine because, you know, the Piffles went, you know, they give an mm-hmm. anesthetic and when they remove the samples. But yeah, they take these samples out and then they multiply them and then that DNA is just there whenever you're ready to clone. But here's the thing.
Wait, I'm sorry, real quick. Does that DNA still exist? Could you have another clone?
Well, here's the thing. It works so well. When he was in the show and he was just killing it, and I was like, this is unbelievable.
You still call him Mr. Piffles? What do you call him at the house? What's his name?
Fortune.
Fortune. Oh, that's right, because he calls the Fortune.
In the show, because Piffles has died now. So we show a three-minute video, which is like, I'll send it to you. It's like a love letter to Piffles and everything he did for me, because he changed my life.
Yeah.
Absolutely changed my life. So we show that.
You ever thank the girl that said, hey, you should think about
it? Yeah. But we show that, and then afterwards we have a slide that says, the role of Mr. Piffles will be played by Mr. Piffles too. And then we just refer to him as Mr. Piffles throughout
the
show.
Got it. Okay.
So,
but you said it works so well. Like that DNA still exists somewhere. You could again clone Mr. Piffles.
Well, we sell them on the website.
What?
You can buy a Chihuahua. You can buy a Mr. Piffles.
No. Yeah, what are you talking about?
Go to piffswag.com. And honestly, I think it's a good investment, Ryan. And I think you should do it while we're on air.
What is it again? Say it.
Piffswag.com. PIFFswag.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
That finger tight. There we go. Piffswag.com. Yeah. Embrace your inner dragon. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking at all swag. There's a plush. Yeah. Mr. Piff. Do I keep going down here?
Going.
Where do I go here? I'm down at the book, the pizza.
Yeah.
Poster. Cloned Mr. Piffles for $120,000.
No way. Dude.
Yeah.
Look, I've got to cover my costs. You know what I mean, Ryan?
Dude, that's funny. Split your purchase into installments. That's introducing Mr. Piffles, the world's only magic performing Chihuahua clone. Now you can have the magic of. So let me ask you this. If I get me a Mr. Piffles clone here on your site at piffswag.com, is it going to act and behave like Mr. Piffles?
It's very inclined to. That's what it is.
Have you done it again?
Yeah, we did it again. It worked so well. Wait, we did it again.
No, you
did. Because I didn't want to get into a situation where I just had one dog again.
So right? Wait, have you had them interact with each other?
Yeah.
Is that weird? Like it's
no,
them.
No, because it's what they are is they're genetic twins. So you know, like
this is what I want to ask you. So you're not an offspring or a child, you're a twin. I'm a twin, so right. I get it.
Yeah. So you exactly. That's exactly. Mm. Yeah, genetic twin. So We did it again because it worked so well. But this time, because they I don't really know how this works, and honestly, I'm not sure I need to know how this works. But they put more, they fertilize more eggs than one, you know, to ensure mm-hmm. you get one.
Yeah, yeah.
And this time we got twins.
That's just like people here who plant the eggs in their bodies and then they have triplets or octomom had 8 of them. Yeah.
So, yeah. So we got twins. This time.
So now you have 3 Mr.
But
Piffles.
But here's the great thing is you only pay for the whole litter. So now they're only $30,000 each.
Oh,
so they're really getting affordable at this stage.
Yeah.
You know?
They're not jacking you like, hey, we got
two. The other day, I went to Singapore, right? Mm-hmm. That's where my dad's born. I went on vacation. And we went with Singapore Airlines, the second longest flight in the world in duration.
How long?
It's 18 hours.
Oh.
Brutal. So because we do gigs everywhere, we have all this status with Delta. So we get like all these, I'll get first for like, we can pay for it just on points. It's amazing. But on Singapore Airlines, zero status. So I'm like, okay, I'll just buy an economy ticket. Okay. It's $6,000 for two tickets, for two. And I'm like, oh, that's a lot.
An economy?
An economy for 18 hours. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of a lot. And then we're like, you know what? We're doing a show and then we're getting a plane. And then we've done it many days off. Let's just see how much business is. $26,000.
US.
US.
For two tickets?
Yeah, that's the upgrade fee. So overall, $32,000. I'm like, you could get a clone.
Good.
You could clone half a dog for the cost of their airline. So, when you put it in terms of like air travel, it's not that expensive cloning animals.
No. Compared to air travel.
Compared to flying to Singapore.
That is wild, man. That's really, I learned some brand new stuff today.
Yeah.
I know we got to get you out of here in a little bit. Can we talk quickly about your Vegas show and
yeah.
You mentioned crashing and burning, and I want to hear about that.
So this Penn and Teller, I do this thing on Penn and Teller, goes bananas. I land a small part in a big Vegas show from that gig, 10-year contract. Moved my whole life over here. And
you got a 10-year gig off?
10-year contract.
Wow.
Like crazy money too. Crazy. And
Excuse me, you're only a part of this thing.
Only a part. But wow. It's only 4 days a week. And on the dark days, they say they're going to produce my show.
Oh, great.
You know, because I love doing hour-long shows. Like in Vegas, it's actually an hour and a half. But so I'm like, great, this is amazing. This is my dream come true. I go over there. Day one, I'm in rehearsals. I look around. I'm like, oh my God, these people have no idea what's going on. This is going to crash them, but this is a disaster. So I immediately apply for a green card. 7 months later, the show bombed, like implodes. So now I'm on my own in Vegas, having moved my life out there. And I try, but I want to stay. So I try everything I can to get my own show in Vegas, but nobody knows who I am. So eventually, I end up on America's Got Talent.
At what age? How old are you when you hit America's Got
35.
Talent?
35.
And how old were you for the Penn and Teller show?
31.
Okay, so it's 4 years in between a big prominent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Go on. And it does great. It blows up again. I get I got like a golden buzzer or whatever from Neil Patrick Harris, which is really funny because in that Vegas show, the original Vegas show, he came to the opening night and I heard, and I think somebody was lying to me, but I heard he hated my act. So when I go on America's Got Talent and I see him there, I'm like, oh no, this is the worst. This is how I, it's going to, but he gave me the golden buzzer. That like made my career, that stuff. And I got my own Vegas show out of it. And in a small room, and we just worked as hard as we could to build that up and build the road up and, like back and forth, like working like 7 days a week for, until the pandemic. So like, almost 5 years doing that. And then in the pandemic, everyone goes to social distancing and we were in a small room in the Flamingo and Donnie and Marie Osmond were in the big room, but they left.
They were still performing?
They were still performing.
What for? How fucking old are they?
Donnie's still going strong, and it's a killer show.
Is it?
This is how crazy it is. He does a 12-minute rap in that show about his career, and it's the greatest thing.
12 yeah. minutes?
It's that show defies all.
They were teenagers, I want to say, when I was at least a kid. They
got to be started when he was 60s, like 5 years
70s.
Old.
Yeah.
It's incredible. So they move out of the showroom. So we move into the showroom, socially distanced. And then it just kept going, better and better. So then we signed a contract. We re-sign now. And I've got Marie's dressing room.
Do you really?
Yeah. She had a steam shower put in. So I've got my own steam shower there.
Hell yeah. Amazing. Good for you, man. Good for you.
But that's just been the, it's been so crazy because magic, it's like we tour, but we can't do every trip we want on tour because mm-hmm. these things are so difficult to move around. So in Vegas, it's like our Super Bowl show. We love it.
That's great, man. Thank you for coming on here and doing
Thanks
this
for having
for
us.
Real. Before I let you go, I do want to see you do a magic trick, but advice you would give to 16-year-old Piff the Magic Dragon, what would you tell John at 15?
I would tell John at 15, hey, you know this thing about having a backup? Like maybe you want to have a plan A before your plan B. Yeah. Maybe spend time on plan A before you, you know, because I spent a lot of years working on plan B. And it was only when I just like, you know, jumped out the plane.
That's great. Yeah.
That it all took off. You have a favorite card?
Yes, I do. I mean, probably a lot of I love the Eight of Spades and the Ace of Spades. They're my favorite.
Well, the Ace card. Of Spades is very common.
Yeah, that's why I said I like, give me an Eight of Clubs. I'll say that's my favorite card.
Here's the thing though.
Okay.
I turned one card face down in this deck.
Okay.
And that was your favorite card. Now I'm going to give you the chance right now to change your mind.
Wait, you're saying in that deck right now, they're all the facing all face one up. Way except for the Eight of Clubs, which
or maybe I know what your favorite card really is and you haven't quite got there yet. Or maybe it's the Eight of Clubs.
Okay.
What do you think it is?
I mean, today I'm going to say I don't know if I've ever really had a favorite one, to be honest. And
maybe I knew that.
Maybe you did. Eight's my favorite number, but I can't say I have a favorite suit, to be honest with you.
Well, but the problem is that whatever you say is by definition your favorite because you're choosing it over the others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're Sophie's choosing that card.
I am, yes.
Right. But you can still change your mind. The important thing is that once you settle on it, there's no going back.
I'm going to stick with Eight of Clubs.
Really?
Then. Yeah.
That's a shame. That's a real shame. Every single one of the playing cards, the same way around, except for one single playing card, just there.
Mm-hmm. Get the fuck out of my fucking face.
Oh, my God. Just...
Listen, man, I've never fucking met you. I even wavered on what I was going to say, and there it fucking is. That's phenomenal,
I think
phenomenal,
you need to question
dude.
Some life choices after this.
John Vanderput, Piff the Magic Dragon, thank you so much.
Thanks for
coming on
me.
Here. Promote one more time, all of it, please.
PiffTheMagicDragon.com. Google PiffTheMagicDragon.com. Just Google it. Google Piff the Magic Dragon. You'll figure it out.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. As always, Ryan Sickler on all your social media, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.